Acts chapter 2, verses 22, 23, and 24. Let me read these three verses, and I'll pray, and then I'll preach. Acts chapter 2, verse 22, the Bible says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." And let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight, for each one that's here. Pray for those that wanted to be here and couldn't tonight because of sickness. I pray that you'll bless them. And Father, I pray that you'd meet with us tonight. I'm going to cover some familiar ground, but sometimes the familiar ground is the sweetest ground. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us, that you would remind us of the kind of God we serve, and that we'd be more bold as we witness for him. Thank you for each one that's here. If there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, I pray tonight would be the night they'd ask him to come into their heart. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. You know, it's in verse 22 where Peter talks about Jesus, and he says, "A man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him." The word miracle in the King James Bible comes from the Greek word dunamis, which we get our word dynamite from. And so the word miracle talks about power and might and strength. It talks about the wondrous acts that only a God that has that power and strength, only God can do those kind of wonders. It's the same word, by the way, that's used in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, where the Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power, the dynamite, of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Sometimes we also read in the Bible, like we did in this verse, where he was approved by miracles and wonders and signs, which comes from a Greek word, sinus, which means a token or a wonder. And Jesus did, at least it's recorded in the Bible, 35 different miracles. Now, I think there were more than that. And I think there were more than that because I read in John chapter 20, verses 30-31, these words, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." And so what the Apostle John is saying, hey, Jesus did a lot more signs and wonders and miracles that we witnessed, but we didn't write them in the book. But he says, "These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." If you study the miracles of Jesus that are recorded in the Bible, you'll find that those miracles, that he did them for one of three basic reasons. Number one, just like this verse implies, he did them to prove that he was the Messiah. He did them to prove that he was the Son of God. He did them to prove that he was sent from God and had the power of God on his life. And so he did things that that nobody has ever done before. When he stood on that boat in the middle of the storm and said, "Peace, be still," and the waves ceased and the wind ceased. That was a miracle that only God's power could perform. When he stood among that crowd of 5,000 men and probably many others, women and children, and he broke the bread and the fish and fed that 5,000 and had 12 baskets full left over. That was a power, a miracle that only God could do. And so he performed miracles to prove, just like this verse said, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the promised one of God, the one that mistakenly the Jews are still looking for. We already know that he's come. They're still looking for the Messiah, and we're studying the book of Revelation. One of these days soon, they're going to know that the Messiah has already come. And if they'd go back and read the miracles of the New Testament, they wouldn't have to keep looking. They would know that Jesus had already come. Their Messiah had already come. So he performed these miracles for one reason, to prove that he was the Christ. Second, he performed these miracles to meet a need. Many of the miracles that he performed met a need in a person's life. He caused the blind to see. That met the blind man's need. He caused the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak, the lame to walk. He raised the dead on three different occasions. He fed the hungry. And he, as he was proving that he was the Christ, he showed us that God cared about us. Aren't you glad that God cares about us? I tell you what, I'm working on a sermon. The fifth sparrow. The fifth sparrow. I'm going to use those two verses where it says, two sparrows are sold for a farthing, four for two, or five for two. If you did the math, you could get four for two, but they're so cheap that somebody throws in the fifth one for nothing. And yet God says, not one of those little sparrows fall without him knowing about it. And I almost preached that sermon tonight because I want to remind you in that sermon how in the small things of life, God watches out for his people. And he cares for us every single day. Sometimes we're so busy and so blind to it that we don't give God the glory and the praise that he deserves. But every single day, he takes care of us and watches out for us. And in the New Testament, the miracles that's recorded, one of the reasons they're recorded is to remind us that we have a God that can meet our needs. And then number three, the miracles were performed or done to teach us a lesson. Just about every single one of them have a spiritual lesson that we need to learn. Who can remember what the first miracle was that Jesus performed? Turned water into wine. Say, well, what kind of lesson can you learn from that? Well, here's the picture. Those old clay pots represent us. They were empty until the water was poured in. Water represents the Word of God. And when the water was poured in, the Word of God was poured into those old empty clay pots, Jesus was able to work a work and turn the water into wine that represents the joy that we have in our salvation. And every single one of the miracles that he performed, it proved to those that saw it that we that read it, that he was the Christ. It met a need. And then it also teaches us a spiritual lesson. Now, there's some people that think, well, the miracles of God were just for the past. They still don't happen today. And tonight I want to tell you, I don't think those people know what they're talking about. I think God still performs miracles. In fact, I'm going to tell you tonight about some of the miracles that I believe in today in the year 2000, that we still have a God that's working miracles. Number one, and by the way, let me just tell you, so I got confused this morning. I got 6 points tonight. So you're getting 15, you're getting the equivalent of 5 sermons in two services today. But just so you can keep track, so you know when I'm just about done, I got 6 points tonight. Number one, I believe in the miracle of this book. I believe that this book is a miracle. I believe every time we open this book, we are looking at a miracle from our God. I believe it's a miracle in its inspiration because, you see, I believe that every single word was breathed by God, dictated by God, inspired by God. However you want to say it, you've heard me say before, I believe in jot and tittle inspiration. I believe that God not only told them what words to use, but he told them where to put the punctuation marks. And this is a miracle that the creator of the universe would record for us the very words that he wants us to have. The Bible says in Psalm 19, verse 1, or I'm sorry, in Psalm chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, the words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified. I can't read my own writing. This is really bad when you get this old that you can't read your own and don't say anything. Purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them for the generations forever. God breathed this book. And I believe in the miracle that he told us. He told men what he wanted them to write. In 2 Timothy chapter 3:16, the Bible says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Every single one of them, from the first verse in Genesis to the last verse in Revelation, God put every single verse in this book that he wanted us to have. In 2 Peter 1:21, for this prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. They were secretaries. They wrote down what God said. I think that's a miracle. I think it's a miracle that he could use 40 different men to write the words that he wanted, and they all come together. There's no contradictions in this book. It all fits together. It tells the same story from the first page in Genesis to the last page in Revelation. It was a miracle that God could use frail men to write this word. And it's a miracle that he's preserved it so that today we could have the very word of God. In 1 Peter chapter 1, but this word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. I believe just as much a miracle that God inspired, wrote, dictated the word of God is a miracle that God down through these years has preserved it, and we can hold in our hands tonight the very word that God wants us to have. That's a miracle. And every time you open this book, don't take it for granted. It's not just a book that some man wrote. It's a book that God wrote and preserved for you to have today. So that when the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, you've got it right here. It's a miracle. I believe in the miracle of the word of God. Number two, I believe in the miracle of the creation of God. In Psalm chapter 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. In Psalm 139, verse 14, boy, I got to start writing bigger. I will prove thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. You see, I don't believe in this theory called evolution. And by the way, you know Darwin, who started it right before he died? He didn't believe it either. He renounced it. Said it's not true. Said I made it up. He renounced it. I believe in the literal creation in 6 days, six 24-hour days. I believe that God created from nothing everything that we see around us. And I think that every time that we look, for example, up into the heavens, and we see the sun, moon, and the stars, the cloud, and the firmament, we ought to say, thank you, God, for that miracle. I believe that when we look out and we see all the trees and the flowers and the vegetables and that God gives us, we ought to say, thank you, God, for that miracle. I believe that when we look at our own bodies, we would say, like the psalmist, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I think if you just consider how you are put together, you would have to say that that's a miracle of God. And we ought to praise him. I mean, that proves to us that he is, that Jesus is the Messiah. He was there when we were created. I mean, there was not anything made that was made without him being there. That's what it tells us in the first chapter of John. And in the beginning was the Word, talking about Jesus, and the Word was God, and there was nothing created. So when you look up into the heavens and you see the sun, moon, and the stars, you thank Jesus for the miracle of creation. When you sit across the table from your spouse, you thank God for the miracle of that creation. I often remind grooms and brides that if you marry in God's will, that husband or that wife has been prepared for you by God. Now, when you fall, Brother Vern, you're supposed to take a break from reading the newspaper and go out and check on her. But I want you to think about it. You that have been married for 50 years or 40 years or 30 years or 20 years or 10 years. Just think about it. Think about the miracle that God performed for you in making that one that you call your husband or wife, in bringing you together, in keeping you married. That's a miracle. Hey, that's in some cases, that's a real miracle, that last part. But it's a miracle to think that God made you for your spouse. And then all I think you ought to just do is go look in the mirror and consider how we're put together. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. David was right when he said it in the psalm. I believe in the miracle of creation, and I thank God for it. Number three, I believe in the miracle of the resurrection. I believe that Jesus was bodily raised from the dead. In Revelation chapter 1, 14, the Bible says, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And he says, amen. Let it be. It's true. I mean, Jesus himself. I'm alive. I was dead, but now I'm alive. And I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. That's the kind of Savior we have. It was a miracle that he came back from the dead. He had raised other people from the dead, but nobody had ever come back from the dead, resurrected themselves. And when he came back from the dead, the spiritual lesson is, the picture for us is that we also are going to resurrect from the dead, and he's going to take us home to that place called heaven, and we have the promise that just like he defeated death, we will defeat death. We will never die. When you got saved, you got eternal life. This old body's going to die, but your soul will never die. Joy and I were talking about it at the hospital. To be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. We're going to go to that place where there's no more pain. No more sorrow, no more tears, no more separation, no more death. That's why the Bible can say about death, death, where's your sting? Where's your victory? It's been conquered in Jesus Christ by the miracle of the resurrection. The songwriter said, we sing it at Easter, death cannot keep his prey. Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. I like what Peter said in that second chapter of Acts. Death couldn't hold him. He couldn't hold him. Boy, I would have liked to have been there. I just wonder if God's going to let us go back and see the actual events. I would like to have seen the devil and the third of the angels that were cast out of heaven with his hands on that rock that first Easter morning, saying, you're not going to get out. You're not going to get out. I'm going to hold you in the grave. No way, Jose. He came out. That rock rolled away. Jesus stepped forth into the sunlight of that first Easter Sunday morning. And ever since then, every Christian has the promise that the grave will not hold them, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And when we die, this old shell is going to die, but our soul is going to go to heaven. Live forever and ever and ever and ever. I believe the resurrection was a miracle, and I believe every saint that dies and goes to heaven is a repeat of that miracle. Number four, I believe in the miracle of salvation. I think every person that's here tonight that's a Christian is a miracle of God's work. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I wish I could tell you the last 10, 11 years, the miracles that I've seen in people's lives, how they changed after they got saved. I mean, some of you can just look at the person next to you. And you say, I know what you're talking about, Brother Darrell, because the one I'm sitting next to when he or she got saved, what a wonderful change in their life was wrought since Jesus came into their heart. I've seen people that were so hard-hearted they wouldn't give you the time of day before they got saved, but when they got saved and they let Jesus come in, they're the most tender-hearted, loving people that you would want to know. See, it's a miracle. And when we studied the book of Hebrews, we talked about so great a salvation. And when you stop and think that we were on our way to hell, a creature created by God, and we were on our way to hell because we were a sinner, because of choices that we made, and our Creator came and died for us, paid the price for our sin. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. The fact that I don't have to go to hell tonight is a miracle. The fact that I have a home in heaven. And by the way, Helen, I told Joy the same thing I tell you every now and then. Don't get in a hurry to get up to your mansion. It's not done yet. When God gets your mansion, and don't none of you get in a hurry to go to heaven. When God gets ready for you, He'll call you. You don't want to get up there before that. You don't want to be standing out in the street because your mansion's not done. Just wait until He calls you. But it's a miracle that we have heaven to look forward to. None of us deserve heaven. Not us. I don't care how good you are, some awful good people in this room. But there's not one person in this room whose goodness deserves heaven. And yet, we have the promise of an eternal God who keeps every promise that's where we're going to go when we die. What a miracle that somebody that was headed for hell could be headed for heaven. That somebody was lost in sin could stand before God justified. That somebody that had no hope for eternity could have a hope that's built on a solid rock that will last forever. I believe in the miracle of salvation. Number five, I believe in the miracle of God's provision. In Philippians 4:13, the Bible says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." I believe that God keeps that promise every day for every one of His children. Say, oh, Brother Darrell, there's a lot of things that I want I don't have. Well, you're reading that verse wrong. God never said that He'll give you everything that you want. He said He'll give you everything that you need. Everything that you need. And there's not a day goes by in the life of a Christian where God doesn't keep that promise. Say, oh, Brother Darrell, there's lots of days where I don't notice that God's given me what I need. You said it right. You don't notice. Who do you think it is that keeps your heart beating every moment of every day? It's God. Who do you think it is that keeps your lungs pumping every moment of every day? It's God. Who do you think it is that keeps all the veins and arteries? We had a lady at work whose 29-year-old son had an artery bust in his head this week, and he died immediately. But who do you think it is that keeps your veins and arteries all together throughout your body, keeps them from busting? It's God. Every day, He gives us what we need. Every day. That's a miracle. To think that God could keep track of all of His children and know what we need. Brother Chuck, the thing you were telling me about before church, He knows what you need tonight, and He'll provide it for you. The lady that talked to me this morning about the unspoken prayer request that has a test coming up this week, God knows exactly what she needs, and He'll give her that. Those of you that are facing some things this week that are going to be hard, God knows. Hey, I feel sorry for these people that have a God that they think doesn't know what's going on in their life. I'm glad that I've got a God that knows what's going to happen to me tomorrow, and has already laid in store, ready to give to me tomorrow, exactly what I need. Hey, I gotta get in a truck tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock with my boss and drive to Toledo, Ohio. And I'm sure he has lots of things to tell me. I can't... Well, I won't tell you about all that. I won't tell you my troubles. But I know he has lots of things to tell me. So we're going to be in the car 4 hours. We're going to visit three or four companies. And late at night, tomorrow night, we're going to be driving back. You know, God's already got in store, laid in store for me, the exact thing that I need to make it through tomorrow. And you know that your God has already laid in store in heaven, ready to give you tomorrow what you need to get through the day. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, and neither do you. But my God does. He knows exactly. Nobody may be planning on going to the hospital tomorrow, but somebody may have to go to the hospital. I pray not, but God has in store what you need. I don't know what kind of trials we'll face tomorrow, but God has exactly what we need. I don't know what kind of victories that we'll win tomorrow. God has exactly what we need. And I believe in the miracle that every day God gives us what we need. And then number six, I believe in the miracle of God's healing. I believe that God still today can miraculously heal folks. I believe He can. I've seen it too many times. I've walked into too many hospital rooms where the doctor said, there's no hope, there's no way. And that person's alive and well and doing good today. I've been in too many hospital rooms where the doctor said, there's absolutely nothing we can do. And yet, God has found a way. Now you say, Brother Darrell, does He perform a miracle for every single person? No, just like we talked about last week. He knows what we need and He's going to give us what we need. But I serve a God that I still believe in the year 2000 has the power to do the same miracles that Jesus did when He was on earth. In fact, you remember Jesus told one of His disciples, you've seen all this? You're going to do greater things than I've done. Because you see, it was the Holy Spirit working through Jesus that allowed Him to perform those miracles. He was man. He took every part of God out of Himself when He walked on the face of the earth. And it was only through the power of the Holy Spirit that He was able to do those miracles. We have the same Holy Spirit. Same Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit hadn't changed. The same person of the Godhead that indwelt Jesus almost 2,000 years ago. Now just think about this. If nothing else I've said tonight will get you excited, this ought to get you excited. The same Holy Spirit that 2,000 years ago indwelt our Savior is the same Holy Spirit that you and I have living inside of us. Same Holy Spirit. Same Holy Spirit. And He has the same power. The same power. And if we'll surrender ourselves to Him and let Him have complete control of our life, we could see miracles. And we do see miracles. We see them every single day. You're a miracle. Many of you tonight are a miracle because God's worked in your life and done something, done a wonder. Done something that no man could do. Let's thank Him. Let's praise Him. Let's be glad that we've got that kind of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for tonight. For each one that's here, thank You for being a miracle-working God. We read in the Bible where men worshiped stones and sticks, and they had feet and they couldn't walk, and ears and they couldn't hear, and eyes and they couldn't see. I'm glad we have a God who sees and hears and acts. And we know He's alive because He lives in our heart. And I pray tonight that we would praise You for being that kind of God. We praise You for this book. We praise You for creation. We praise You for the resurrection. We praise you for salvation. We praise you for the daily provision that you give to us. And we praise you for the many, many miracles that we've seen where you've touched human bodies and restored them to health. And Father, tonight, I lift those up. I lift those up that need a miracle of healing in their life. I think there's several that are on my mind and my heart tonight, and you know who they are. And God, I'm asking you for a miracle in their life. I'm asking you to do something that no doctor can do, no man can do, but the great physician can. And Father, I pray tonight, and I hold them up to you as I have over and over and over again the past few weeks, and ask you to work in their life. And then, Father, I hold up tonight anybody that might be here that's never received Christ as their Savior. I pray tonight would be the night that they see themselves as a sinner, see the one who died for them, and tonight they'd come and receive Jesus as their Savior. Bless the invitation. Use it as you see fit. We'll give our Savior all the glory. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.